And I'm so, are you glad to be in church today?
Yes.
I am too, and I'm so excited about teaching you guys this today, because I almost promise you, you've probably never heard this before in church, and it's time for the church. What I feel like the church has got to start stepping up and teaching people the truth, because the truth will set you free. And when you understand the truth, you're going to understand the times that we're living in. And what I'm praying is that you'll go home and search this out for yourself, that I'm praying that you'll get a love for the truth, because the truth is what saves you. The truth is what sets you free. And I'm wanting every one of you in here to have a love for the truth, which is God's word. And so the last Sunday, if you're, you know, I know we have some guests with us today and that you've never been here on the last Sunday of any month here at our church, but what I started doing back in last October at the start of this year was the last Sunday of every month, I take that Sunday and I teach something about Bible prophecy. And so, I learned this at a last year in October for Pastor's Appreciation Month. You guys sent us to a Bible prophecy conference that was in Norman. And one of the speakers there that I was listening to really had a strong word for any pastors that were in the house, and he said, you really need to be teaching your congregation on the days that we're living in, these last days of the end times, helping them understand Bible prophecy, helping them to connect the dots of what's happening in the world and in the news and doing all those things. And it really resonated with me and convicted me, and I said, Lord, how am I going to do that? Am I going to do teaching series like one a year or whatever? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, Mark, you're going to do something on the last Sunday of every month. So basically, you know, 12 messages in a year about the end times. And today the message title is The Counterfeit Christ. And we're going to be talking about the Antichrist. And we're going to get into that here in just a second. Another reason why I started going down this road and learning this and studying the Word about this was about 15 years ago. Some of you have heard this. I'm just saying this for the ones that have not heard this. About 15 years ago here at the park, we were having a cookout, church cookout. I had somebody come up to me, and we were sitting down. I'm eating a hot dog, and this lady goes, started asking me about the God in the Old Testament. Is he the same in the New Testament? And she's like, he looks like he was mad in the Old Testament. He's killing everybody. And then all of a sudden, the New Testament, he looks like he got saved and got happy again, right? And she's sitting there asking me these valid questions, and I'm sitting there as a pastor, and she was asking me, why? Why do we see that in Scripture? And I said, you know, I really didn't have a really good answer for it, to be honest with you, at the time. So that really struck me, and that took. And this was 15 years ago. So what I'm sharing with you today is what I'm trying to tell you. I didn't just learn this yesterday. This has been over 15 years of me getting into the Word and seeking and searching this out and listening to other Bible prophecy teachers that I know that know what they're talking about. But the word counterfeit is the definition of it is this. Is made an exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intention to deceive or defraud. Now, here's the best way to know if something is counterfeit is to know the real. That's the best way to know if something is counterfeit. So that's why you have to know the Word, know the truth. As I was looking this up, just a little side note here, is when I was looking this up, I thought probably the number one most counterfeited thing in the world was probably money, but I found out that's not true. The number one thing counterfeited in the world is shoes and footwear. Is the most counterfeited item in the world or counterfeited product. And Nike is number one. People, you know, trying to do knockoffs of Nike. So there you go. There's a little tidbit for you. Might help you win a game show someday, okay? All right. So how will, and where did this question come from? I did a church poll on Facebook, on our church Facebook page, and I was asking people what they would like for me to teach on these last Sundays, and it was actually my dad posted this. He was the first one to post. There were several others, but I went ahead and took my dad's, because I got to do that, because dad was first, so he's got to go first. So he asked this question. He said, how will the Antichrist be able to deceive mankind? And, of course, when I first read that, I kind of chuckled, and I said, well, right now, I don't think it's going to be too hard, because we don't even know what a male and a female are right now, you know, so it's just really, okay, that's a joke, okay, but it's true, too, at the same time. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to do my very best, along with the Holy Spirit's help. I'm going to uncover a deception so sinister that even some dedicated students of Bible prophecy are unaware of it. Okay, and I promise you this hasn't been taught anywhere. And so what we're going to do, though, is when we talk about Bible prophecy, and what I tell you guys to do is you got to let Bible interpret Bible. Not man interpret Bible, but Bible interpret Bible. And so I'm going to take you through this and let you see this, and then I'm going to tell you, you go on home and study this out for yourself too, okay? Everybody ready? All right. This is another scripture that we've been, because this is what I've been praying over myself and over all of you guys, is that God is going to put the anointing of Issachar upon us, which was men who had understanding, men and women who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command. So God wants us, he doesn't want us to be in the dark as his children. He wants us to understand the times that we're living in. I'm going to just kind of tell you the time that we're living in right now. I'm 54 years old. I'll be turning 55 in September. And I'm going to tell you right now, this stuff wasn't going on when I was 18. Okay, what I'm about to share with you. And young people, I really want you to listen to me today. There's a mindset being created right now to usher in the Antichrist. It's a mindset. And part of it is wokeism, cancel culture, and the lawlessness are a part of it. And if you're taking notes, and I know I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today, but on the back of your bulletin, you can take notes, and we're basically going to have 3 points in my outline that I'm going to teach from today, because here's what the enemy is going to do. Satan is going to counterfeit Christ, so he's going to counterfeit the birth, he's going to counterfeit the death, and he's going to counterfeit the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in deceiving mankind. He's going to counterfeit the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with a false gospel, a false hope. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. So there's 3 points on the back of your bulletin. You want to go 1, 2, 3 and leave some space just to write down Scriptures. If not, I will send you my notes if you just want to sit there and listen. And then I can send you my notes. You just give me your email address. But my 3 points that I'm going to talk about today is the counterfeit birth, the counterfeit death, and the counterfeit resurrection. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. So I want you to turn to these Scriptures that we're going to look at today. These are the main ones I want you to turn to. It's Genesis chapter 3. I always like, if you have your Bibles or your smartphone, to turn to Scripture so you know where they're at. Genesis 3, Matthew 24, and Revelation chapter 6. And I'm still going to put them all up here on the screen. So Genesis 3, Matthew 24, and Revelation chapter 6. So in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, this is talking about the Antichrist. And I want you to see how he looks like Jesus, okay? Even in Bible prophecy. It says, "Now I watched when the Lamb," that's Jesus, "opened one of the 7 seals, and I heard one of the 4 living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come,' and I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer." Now, this passage of Scripture, just those 2 verses, is talking about the Antichrist. And I want you to show you something. It says he's on a white horse, just like Jesus. We're going to see this in Revelation 19 in just a second. He has a bow, but there's no arrow. So that means he's coming to bring peace. And then he has a crown upon his head. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13 says this, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." Here it is again, but this one's talking about Jesus. "The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." That's the prophecy of Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. So see the similarities, the counterfeit Christ. He looks just like Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 10 says this, "The coming of the lawless one," the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, "is by the activity of Satan." This activity is already going on right now. The mindset for the world to receive him is being created right now. "With all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved." You've got to love the truth. Amen. That's the holy, and that's what I've been praying over myself and over all of us. Holy Spirit, give us a love for the truth. Yes. Right now, the enemy is so deceptive, he can make the lie seem better than the truth. And so we've got to have a love for the truth. Look at somebody and say, you got to have a love for the truth. I'm going to show you this counterfeit again. In the Holy Trinity, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you study the book of Revelation, you're going to see the unholy Trinity. Here again, a counterfeit is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And the false prophet is constantly pointing people to worship the Antichrist when you study that in Bible prophecy. Now, to understand Bible prophecy, we're going to have to go into what Jesus called this, and this is in Matthew chapter 24. And it's the first, basically, it's the first 11 chapters of Genesis. You're going to have to go back to the beginning to understand Bible prophecy. And Jesus told us to do this. And when you first read it, and I'll never forget from the first time I read it, I just kind of skimmed over it. And I'm going to show you what it says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. This is Jesus talking about the last days, the end times, Bible prophecy. And he says, For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And when you read that, you're thinking, okay, for the days of Noah, and they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. I mean, it sounds like today and all this. Well, you got to go a little bit deeper than that. You got to study the Word. Jesus is basically giving us a clue. You need to go study the days of Noah. You need to go back in the book of Genesis and study what happened at the flood, what was going on at the flood. Now, everybody ready to get into this morning?
Amen.
Okay, this is going to be good. And this is going to help you. I'm praying God, the Holy Spirit, help us connect the dots, because what you're going to be able to do is go help somebody else connect the dots, because I want every one of you in here to be out on the first load. Because I believe Scripture teaches, and this is a whole other teaching, is that the church, the real church that knows the real Jesus, is going to be raptured out of here before the Antichrist shows up. But as we go up, he shows up, is what I believe that happens. And he's going to have an explanation for the rapture of the church, okay? Whole other teaching. I just want to share that before we get into this. All right. So and here's the deal. I'm not teaching you this to scare anybody in here. This is not scary. This is Bible prophecy. I'm already going to tell you right now, we win. Okay? So just stay true to Jesus. And this is going to help you teach others to stay true to Jesus. The counterfeit birth, all right? For him to deceive mankind, there will have to be a counterfeit birth, a counterfeit death, and a counterfeit resurrection. And I believe the Scripture shows us all this. If you're going to understand Bible prophecy, or if you're going to even be able to connect any kind of dots in Scripture, you're going to have to know this prophecy that God himself spoke to the enemy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is what God said. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, that's Satan's seed, and her seed, capital S, that's talking about Jesus. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. When Lucifer, the fallen angel, heard that in Genesis chapter 3, he said, uh-oh, he's got a plan. And I better stop this plan from happening. He's telling me that somebody's coming through the seed of a woman, her seed. Something's going on here. Jesus is coming. This is God himself saying, my son's coming to take you out.
Yes.
Okay? So he's like, uh-oh. Genesis 6, go just a few chapters later, and we see what the enemy starts doing. It says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, I don't have time to get into all of this, but if you'll go read the book of Job, the sons of God are angels, okay? Saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man with man, will not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. And the Nephilim, everybody say Nephilim. This appears in the book of Genesis and also in Numbers. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. And the mighty men, it means, when you look that up in Hebrew, it means giants, Gibberim, which means giants. And so if you remember the story of the children of Israel going into the promised land, there were giants, and God said, I want you to wipe them all out. And he even says, if you'll study Scripture, he says the men, the women, the children, and their animals. And there's a reason why, is because the enemy was corrupting the human race, mankind, the bloodline, but he was also doing it with animals. You can even see that in the Egyptian hierarchy or their petroglyphs or whatever you call them. Hieroglyphs, not petroglyphs. That's even, you know, okay. That's, yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jacoby. But you see that in, with those pictures, you know, the animal heads, the alligator head, the dog head, all that. That was really going on, people, pre-flood. There was a whole other world here pre-flood that even scientists are trying to figure out. That's why all these monuments and stuff that they don't know how man created, because they didn't have the technology back then to do them, fallen angel technology. Okay, so I'm, you know, now we're going to go down into ancient aliens, and I'm not going to do that right now, the History Channel. But that's all true, guys, and it's right here in Scripture, but you got to study it out, you got to see it. The Book of Enoch, which is not part of our canon of Scripture, says there was 200 fallen, there was 200 angels that fell that did this, that started corrupting the human race, okay? Now, I want to make mention of this real quick. Also, another thing that'll just help you understand this, Greek mythology about the mighty men, giants, there is an element of truth to that, okay? David and Goliath, we talk about David and Goliath, we use it in sports and everything. There it is right there. Goliath was a giant. God said, take him out, all right? So God is trying to eradicate this bloodline in the earth. So that's why God was doing all that killing in the Old Testament, amen? Okay. Now, what I want to say right now before we get any further in this teaching is this scripture talks about fallen angels, and I'm going to show you what happens to them, but it doesn't mention Lucifer. Take note of that, okay? It doesn't mention that he has done anything yet. Now, I'm going to shift gears here, and I want the young people to hear this, okay? The church is not teaching this. And I know some people are probably saying, I can't believe Pastor Mark's teaching this on a Sunday morning. God's told me you better start teaching this on Sunday mornings and all the time you can in that last Sunday of the month. But, and here's the reason why. Our young people are being taught about the Nephilim, but from a fallen angel perspective. And it's happening right now. And there's an entire genre of books, TV shows, and movies about it. But the church in America shuns the supernatural and ignores the account of the Nephilim and the fallen angelic incursion altogether. And there's books like this. I looked up some of these, guys. I'm not saying to go read these. Don't do that. But I'm just letting you know that these are happening. And mom and dad, you better start paying attention to what your kids are listening to and reading. Okay? Because there's books called Nephilim Savior, Daughters of Men, Nephilim's Beloved, A Divine Giant's Romance, and the Mortal Instruments series are books. Now listen to this. They are books about teenage girls having romantic relations with fallen angels. Okay. He's going to counterfeit the birth. He's going to counterfeit the birth. That's all I'm going to say right there. Okay. He's going to counterfeit the virgin birth. Jude 1 verse 6 says this about these fallen angels. It says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. God chained them up, put them in the abyss. Okay? All right. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 says this, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, which perdition means the son of hell or the son of eternal damnation. Now, I want to share something with you because I know that a lot of people are thinking, well, Pastor Mark, is this a new teaching? No, it's not. It's not a new teaching. It's just something that has not been taught in church for several hundred years. But the early church fathers taught this. The early church fathers knew this. And then I'm going to read one from an early church father. Irenaeus is his name in the 2nd century AD, and this is what he said. He says, and therefore, in the beast, when he comes, there ensues a summing up of all iniquity and all deceit, that in him all the power of rebellion, running into one and shut up in one, may slip down the furnace of fire. Suitably, then, will his name also have the number 666, the unholy trinity. He's summing up in himself all the wickedness which was before the flood, the commixture caused by the angels' revolt. The early church taught this. The early church understood this. It's been The church hasn't been teaching this. And so, but the enemy is teaching this to our young people right now. The mindset and the books and the TV shows and all this. Here's what I'm trying to tell us all right here under the counterfeit birth. The counterfeit birth. The Bible confirms that the final counterfeit Christ before the second coming of Christ will be a Nephilim hybrid. His father will indeed be Lucifer, and he will be the most powerful Nephilim to ever live on planet Earth. That's the book of Revelation. Okay? Everybody with me? Clark's like, I can't believe you're teaching this, Pastor Mark. But we got to hear this, guys, because he is the enemy is already infiltrating society with this nonsense. Okay? People need to know the truth because the truth will set you free. I want everybody to be on the first load out of here. Because if you're here after that first load, you're going to die. You will die for Jesus. Okay? And I'm going to show you that here in just a little bit. The counterfeit death, all right? The counterfeit death. It's in Scripture. It's in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority." Verse 3, here's the key. "One of his heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast." So there it is. He's mortally wounded. He dies. And then he's resurrected, and the whole world follows him. Everybody stand with me. Now I'm going to take us into what's happening right now. Right now, the ultra elite and the wealthy are spending millions on life extension technology to cheat death. In mid 2022, Sam Altman, who is the CEO of OpenAI, invested, listen to this, $180 million in a company called Retro Biosciences, which seeks to extend the human lifespan 10 years by 2030. It's not too far from now, but that's going on right now. Jeff Bezos, who's the Amazon founder, and he's also the richest man in the world, has poured part of his fortune, listen to this, this man has poured $3 billion, billion, not million, billion, with a B, into Altos Laboratories, which is a biotech company that's doing the same thing. Here's another one, the Methuselah Foundation. Everybody know who Methuselah is? Okay, listen to this. The Methuselah Foundation, a life extension company startup backed by PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel, who was also the initial investor in Facebook, doesn't even hide the biblical mimicry of and mockery of their mission. The foundation was named after Methuselah, which was the grandfather of Noah in the Bible, whose lifespan was recorded as 969 years, the oldest man in the Bible. And their mission, Methuselah Foundation's mission is this: our mission is to make 90 the new 50 by 2030. So the ultra elite and the ultra wealthy are trying to extend life. They're trying to cheat death. And this is, I'm going to say this right now, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture, letting Bible interpret Bible. This is what the Antichrist will do in the Great Tribulation, and for a time, the unsaved world will experience immortality on earth. They're not going to die. All right. Stay with me. Everybody with me?
Yes.
I want to read you a Scripture that I read at a lot of funerals, okay? Had one yesterday. And by the way, church family, I want you to be praying for Janice Harrell and her family. Her son, Jay Guy, went home to be with the Lord. We had a beautiful memorial service for him yesterday out at Bar X Ranch at 11 o'clock. A little hot, but it was good. It was a beautiful day. Had just a little light breeze and had over 50 there. And I love, you know, they had a lot of family sharing. And somebody, it was Tony, who was going to be here, got to talk with Jay Guy and make sure of his salvation before he passed away. So he's in our future. But whenever I do memorial services, especially when I'm at the graveside, this is a Scripture that I read often. And I want to show you this because what the Apostle Paul is teaching us as Christians, that our salvation not only includes our spirit man, but it also includes our body. Okay? Well, stay with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, I believe it is, or 54, 55, sorry. 51 through 55 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In victory, death is, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" So there it is. We're saved in spirit, and we're saved in body. And if you're here when that last trumpet sounds, you know, at the very first of this year, I had a family member. I had to do a graveside for a family member, my Aunt Linda. She knew Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She's going to come. How's this going to happen? I don't know. But she's going to come up out of that grave. Amen? And then if you're alive and remain when this happens, when that last trumpet, the Bible says you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. This mortal body is going to put on immortality. We're going to have, I'm ready for my new body, by the way. Amen. I've already seen myself. I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the spirit. Yeah. So that's a joke, by the way. I don't know what we're going to look like, but here's the deal. I think we're going to look young, and we're never going to wear out, and we're never, you know, it's just, we're going to live for all of eternity, and it's going to be awesome. But the Bible specifically says, I don't want you to see that, it's not just your spirit, it's also your body. All right, here's the counterfeit resurrection. Number three, the counterfeit resurrection. Everybody learning something today?
Yes.
Is everybody getting something out of this today?
Yes.
Okay, and you might be saying, Pastor Mark, what is going on? Go home and study this out for yourself, okay? Revelation chapter 13 says this, and this is talking about underneath the resurrection. The counterfeit resurrection is the mark of the beast, okay? And if you've been around church any length of time, you've heard about the mark of the beast. I can remember when people thought the QR code was going to be the mark of the beast. You know, I can remember Y2K, right? You know, I remember all that stuff, you know. And this technology is already here for this, and it's coming. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18 says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's a whole other teaching. We're not going to go there today. Now, I'm going to jump back to the book of Daniel right here because I want you to see something. Daniel and Revelation kind of go hand in hand. Daniel has a lot of Bible prophecy in it about the last days, about the last empire. And sometimes, a little side note here, when you're studying Revelation, sometimes you'll see beast used for the Antichrist, but you'll also see beast used for the final kingdom empire that's going to be here. And so in Daniel chapter 2, verses 43, this is when he's talking about the last kingdom or the last empire. He says, "As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men." I want you to just remember that. They will mingle with the seed of men. Remember that happening before the flood? Okay. It's going to also happen in the book of Revelation at the end. Genesis is a foreshadow, type and shadow of what's going to happen in the last days. Okay. "But they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. It is well known that the mark of the beast," and I can remember studying this before I had more revelation of this, and this is the way I always thought. "It is well known that the mark of the beast will be the system of the final one-world global economy, and nothing can be bought or sold on earth without having the mark." And I thought, okay. You know, God, if I'm here, I think I can survive that. Can we just be honest? Janice laughed. Can we just, because I'm like, I'm a country boy. Country boys can survive, right? You know, it's like, no big deal. I ain't taking that mark. If you're going to make me buy or sell, I can go catch catfish all day long, you know. Either if I got a handfish or throw a line out there. That's what I was thinking about all that. But then as I have been studying this, I have gotten further revelation about the enemy counterfeiting the resurrection, okay? So, you know, I showed you how he's going to counterfeit the birth. I showed you how he's, you know, counterfeiting the death. Now, how's he going to counterfeit a resurrection and make us all believe it? Well, he did resurrect, and it says that people began to follow him. But see, when Jesus resurrected, and when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, what automatically happens in the spirit realm, we can't see it, but God puts a seal on you that you're his child, okay? And then he starts working on you, the Holy Spirit. We've all got our junk, and, you know, thank God for God's grace, amen? But he works with us, and we're working with him, and we're saved, but he's got his seal. He's got his seal upon us, but what he deposited into us was eternal life. And that's why you hear me say this a lot. Taya was telling me one time, she goes, Daddy, why do you always end your prayers, you know, thanking, you know, Jesus for the gift of eternal life? And I said, because I am so thankful for the gift of eternal life. That's what is in me. That's there, you know. And now she prays it, and my grandkids are praying it, you know. And we're just thanking God every day for the gift of eternal life that we have through the name of Jesus. So that's what's been deposited in us when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, based on the resurrection. Counterfeit, how's the enemy going to do that? To counterfeit that. Stay with me. Not as well known is the mark, is that this mark of the beast, will also have a genetic component. It'll merge the human recipient with the DNA of the Antichrist himself, the Nephilim, and it will be his promise of eternal life or his promise of resurrection. And people are going to do it. Hook, line, and sinker. Listen to this. Stay with me. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Taking the mark will make a person literally a seed of Satan, fully corrupted in spirit, mind, and body. And it is a decision of such extreme consequence that God will dispatch angels to warn the entire... He doesn't dispatch humans to do this. He dispatches angels. He doesn't dispatch other Christians to do this. Listen, he dispatches angels to warn the entire world to avoid taking the mark at all costs. And this contamination will corrupt the human genome and disqualify those from salvation who take the mark. There's no repentance after you take the mark. Shot, the COVID shot was not this, was not the mark of the beast. Heard people saying, it's going to be like that. I don't know if it's going to be a shot. You know, it's going to be the mark, whatever it is. I'm just going to use the COVID shot as an example, okay? Did anybody get shunned for not taking the COVID shot? If you didn't take it? Oh, yeah. I can remember coughing during that time and people looking at me like, he just coughed. He's got COVID. And then they're like, did you take the COVID shot? Multiply that by 1,000. That's the kind of pressure that's going to be on people in this day with the mark of the beast. They're going to be saying, do you got the mark? Okay. That's just trying to use that as an analogy, but might not be the best analogy, but that's going to kind of be what's going to be going on during that time, I believe. And so let me show you this in Scripture now, okay? Revelation 14, verses 9 through 12. And this is how, this is when God releases the angel to warn people about not doing this. And it says, and another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink, listen, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath poured full strength into the cup of his anger. Okay? And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here's a call for the endurance of the saints, because there are going to be Christians here during that time. And this angel says, here's a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. But there's going to be a lot of martyrs. The Antichrist, when you study Revelation, the Antichrist is going to kill a lot of Christians, a lot of believers during that time. And so God is warning people not to do this because of the consequence of it. And so this is I just want everybody to understand this mark of the beast, it is an absolute choice that you're saying, I do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe in the Antichrist. He's my Messiah. So it's a choice. And there's a severe consequences to that choice. Now, taking you one step further in this journey under the resurrection, I'm going to go jump over to Revelation chapter 9, and I'm going to show you something. That y'all remember the fallen angels from Genesis 6, right? Yes. 6, 1 through 4. And then we read that in Jude, verse 6, is they were put into the abyss, right? Okay. In the book of Revelation, they are released. Okay. Now, in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, what I'm going to read to you tells us this. Bible prophecy tells us this. It says, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star falling from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or tree." And I can remember the first time I read this, I was like, "God, you're going to release insects on us?" You know, I mean, yeah, that's how I read the Bible, Janice, until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit how much the Word begins to illuminate. There's all kinds of type and shadows. But I did. I was like, my gosh, I need to get some severe fly swatters going on, you know, because if there's locusts and scorpions and all this stuff. And it says, now listen to this, but God allows this to happen, okay? God, this is Father filtered, and he's using them to judge the ones that took the mark. He's using the angels that decided they made a choice. They made a choice to do a reverse rapture. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to leave our positions in heaven as angels, and we're going to come and be and cohabitate with women. They did what they call, they made the choice to do a reverse rapture. Everybody got that? And so then God's releasing these. He's using them as his agents to judge the earth at this time are the ones that took the seal. And he tells them, but only those people, who I got to underline, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads can you do this to. Okay? Can't touch the ones that had the seal. You're touching the ones that had the mark of the beast. And they were allowed to torment them for 5 months. Everybody say 5 months. Okay, remember, Bible interprets Bible. But not to kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. I can't imagine the horror of this. It says, in those days, people will seek death. Here's the other key. And in those days, these people that took the mark of the beast, listen to me, they're going to seek death, and they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Why is that? Because they took the mark of the beast, and in this mark of the beast is immortality. Verse 7 says, in appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Here you go. This is something right out of a horror film. Verse 8 says, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months. Everybody say 5 months is in their tails, and they have a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. This is one of the archangels in the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and his Greek and in the Greek he is called Apollyon. Okay, that's his name. Now, the reason why I had you say 5 months is because, like I said, Bible interprets Bible. All this has already happened before in the book of Genesis. And this is why Jesus said, you need to go study the days of Noah. In Genesis 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, but God remembered Noah because his bloodline was pure. There was only eight that was saved. And there's a whole other teaching. The Nephilim came back after the flood. There's a whole other teaching. Not going to get into that today. It says, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. And at the end of 150 days, how long is 150 days? 5 months, the waters had abated. So that same judgment that was in the book of Genesis for 150 days upon the earth, that same judgment is going to come back to the ones that have taken the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not just to buy and sell goods. It will be the technology to alter the genetics of the recipients. This technology is already being played with right now. Okay? to alter the genetics of recipients, contaminating their bodies with the DNA of the Nephilim. This is why there is judgment and there's no repentance or forgiveness. People know what they're doing when they do this. Just as it was in the days of Noah, the devil and his fallen angelic hordes will again mingle their seed and corrupt humanity to prevent their redemption, and the stage is already being set for it. Everybody learned something today?
Yes.
Everybody's eyes open? Everybody got some dots connected? I hope you have a love for the truth. I hope you go home and study this out for yourself. But I want to read this last scripture to you about the unholy Trinity. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, this is Revelation 20:10. And sulfur were the beast, the antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I just want to tell you right now, Team Jesus is the winning team.
Yes.
And you better be sure you're on Team Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And that's what I want to do today, is make sure you've heard the gospel, even in this whole story. And this is why God sent Jesus to. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just got to do it out of a repentant heart and just mean it. I read the story yesterday of the thief on the cross at Jay Guy's memorial service. And I said the thief on the cross had so much shame and guilt, and when he was hanging there by Jesus, and it says he knew Jesus was an innocent man, and he was so had so much shame, condemnation, and guilt upon him, he couldn't even tell Jesus to say, he didn't even say, save me. He said, remember me. He said, Jesus, I just hope you remember me, that I was here in this moment with you. And then Jesus said to him, today, brother, you're going to be with me in paradise. So that's all it takes. It just, out of a repentant heart, calling upon the name of Jesus. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. This is a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that right here, or I can do it over at Foss Lake. I live over by Foss Lake now. So we can go right down to Panther Creek Road and go down in the ramp, and I can baptize you in Foss Lake if you want to do that. But or we can do it here at church. That's your next step of obedience if you haven't done that. And but now what we're going to do is everybody ready to eat? I am. Fiesta dinner, and then we're going to have our church dessert auction, and we want everybody to stay and eat with us, okay? We're going to have the dinner by donation. And but we need everybody's help in kind of setting this place up. If you don't know, if you're new here and you don't know what to do, somebody will tell you what to do. I promise you. Okay, we got a lot of chiefs around here, and so we're going to get tables and chairs set up out here, and the food set up. We'll need help back in the kitchen as well, and so we're going to have some fun. Dinner and auction coming up right now. All right, so help out setting up everything with us. Appreciate it. Love you guys. Everybody learn something today?
Yes.
Amen. The best way to know the counterfeit is to know the real.